This is Only a Game. I'm Karen Given. On August 12, 1994, Major League Baseball players walked off the job after months of failed labor negotiations.
The Expos leave the field in first place, yet wondering if their best season ever's in jeopardy. Even so, they're prepared to sit it out for as long as it takes.
A month later, Acting Commissioner Bud Selig canceled the remaining regular season and the entire postseason. That's when the President of the United States stepped in to help. Or he tried to. Only a Game's Gary Wallach has the story.
In the fall of 1994, angst filled the void created by the loss of baseball. Fans of the game were still struggling with the idea that there'd be no World Series for the first time in 90 years.
It was shocking. It was just horrendous.
That's Bud Selig.
That was a really, really dismal time in baseball. People were angry. They were angry with everybody, including the commissioner, I may add. I got a call from the White House to meet with President Clinton.
There was a history of U.S. presidents getting involved in sports. Teddy Roosevelt called for rule changes to make football safer. FDR told Commissioner Kennesaw Mountain Landis that MLB should carry on during World War II. Selig hopped on a plane in Milwaukee and arrived in D.C. for the meeting on October 14th.
President Clinton said to me, you know, this is unfortunate, and we find ourselves in a tough position, and I'd really like to help in solving it, so I'm going to appoint a mediator, if you agree, by the name of Bill Ussery.
Ussery was a former Secretary of Labor who'd been appointed to arbitrate labor disputes by every U.S. president, from Harry S. Truman to Gerald Ford. The 70-year-old Ussery was also trusted by Clinton and by Major League Baseball Players Association head Donald Fear. Everyone agreed that Ussery was the man for the job, but Clinton had a stipulation for both parties.
And this is the crucial thing, that whatever Ussery came up with, we would accept.
The sides negotiated into January of 1995, but made little progress. Then the White House set a deadline of February 6th for a settlement. But Ussery still couldn't bring the sides close to an agreement.
They were tough, very, very tough meetings. Bill Ussery and I hollered at each other a lot, as much as I liked him, by the way. You know, these are difficult issues.
The sides quibbled over the salary cap, free agency, how much payroll tax teams should pay, and how to distribute that revenue to the league's smaller clubs.
We didn't agree on a lot of things, but there was a dialogue.
On February 7th, after the deadline for a new agreement had expired, and as the time for spring training approached, Selig went back to Washington to meet with Bill Ussery.
And he gave me his plan, and you know, to be very candid with you, I liked it, but there are a lot of parts of it I didn't like.
Selig knew the owners wouldn't be happy about Ussery's recommendation of a 50% luxury tax on payrolls above $40 million per season, but
I said, well, I gave my word on October 14th to the president that I'd accept what you came up with, so I don't have a choice. And he said he was going to see the union, and they'd be back to us. That's when the tough part began.
Selig went back to his hotel to brief the owners. Then he waited.
And now it's 10 o'clock, 11 o'clock, 12 o'clock, 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock. We started calling everybody that we knew. Senators, Joe Lieberman, Chris Dodd, Herb Cole. But nobody knew anything. Finally, at 5 o'clock, we get a call to meet at the White House.
Selig figured the union had also agreed on Ussery's terms and that there'd be a new labor deal just in time for a full 1995 MLB season. Selig walked into the Roosevelt Room for a private meeting.
There's Don Fear with a bunch of players. And I can see by the look on Bill Ussery's face, there's trouble. The meeting starts. President Clinton says a few words, and everybody's there, Robert Reich, the Labor Secretary, George Stephanopoulos, and Vice President Gore. Al Gore kind of took over, and Al Gore says this deal will not work, union won't accept it, and I'm stunned.
Selig says he glanced at Bill Clinton. He had expected the president to hold the union to its word that it would accept Ussery's recommendations. Clinton quickly looked away and then ducked out of the Roosevelt Room. After a desperate last-minute attempt to hammer out an agreement, the meeting ended abruptly. Later, Seelig ran into Ussery in a hallway.
And Bill Ussery said, "Harry S. Truman never did this to me. Dwight David Eisenhower never did this to me. John F. Kennedy didn't. And even Richard Nixon didn't do this to me." And I could see he was really upset.
As they talked, Seelig was summoned to the Oval Office to meet privately with Bill Clinton.
I said to him, "Mr. President, I gave my word, as you did, that whatever Bill Ussery came up with, we'd accept." And then all of a sudden the door opened, maybe conveniently. In comes all the same cast of characters, at which point the president kind of disappeared. Vice President Gore took over.
Seelig believed Gore was putting his pro-labor constituency above his pledge to help resolve MLB's impasse.
I sat there maybe in shock. I finally blew up and my language was tough.
Seelig says F-bombs were involved.
I said to him, "You people have double-crossed us, and now we're going to start over again." And that was the end of that session. It was a deeply disappointing session.
In March of 1995, U.S. District Judge Sonia Sotomayor, now a Supreme Court justice, issued an injunction that restored the terms of the previous agreement and ordered the sides to keep negotiating. The players returned to the field for a slightly abbreviated 1995 season. The league and the union finally agreed to a new deal in March of 1997. Major League Baseball began the work of winning back its fans.
They were angry at the players, which you didn't want, angry at the owners. Everybody was angry at the commissioner. But what did it lead to? It was only when we went to labor peace that we started setting attendance records and everything else.
Seelig likes to claim that the league has enjoyed labor peace since those negotiations. And that's true, if you don't count the near strike in 2002, after the league insisted that players submit to random testing for performance-enhancing drugs. That was in response to that epic and slightly fraudulent home run race featuring Sammy Sosa and Mark McGwire, which, when you really think about it, was the main reason the fans came back. So maybe not everything Bud Seelig says is exactly true, but I hope he was on the level when he told me about all of those F-bombs bouncing off the walls of the White House.
That's Only a Game's Gary Wallach. Bud Selig's new book is For the Good of the Game.